Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? Oh yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
rousing
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding the bus, giggling at an inside joke, or even
bathing in nostalgia.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the Global Studio, truly global today. First of all, by the most lekker teacher in all of South Africa, the one and only Kase.
Hey guys. Hey Ethan, Thiago.
And by the one and only Axel Pose. How's it going,
hey
Thiago?
Guys. I'm well. How's it going?
All good. Tout bon. So let's jump right into today's main attraction. Today we're reminiscing about our school days, and our school days would be back in the sort of what we call like middle high school. Maybe we can actually get into that, what that is in different countries. But we're going to be sharing some different stories like this because, you know, everyone loves hearing stories, especially personal stories, personal anecdotes, as we might call them. And so we invite you to take a trip down memory lane with us, reminisce a bit about our childhood.
All right, we got some nice vocab here already to define, right, Ethan?
We do.
So, Ethan, one of the nice words you used here is anecdotes. People love to hear personal anecdotes. What is an anecdote?
An anecdote, it's maybe a more fancy, a more advanced word that we could use for a personal story that someone has about some experience that they've lived.
We actually have a word in Portuguese that resembles that, you know?
It's not anecdote.
Can you say that again, Ethan?
I was going to say it's probably not anecdote.
Oh, but it's right there. Yeah? It's anedota.
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 Learned a new
it's
word.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Very handy.
I hope I'm not butchering my mother tongue here, but I think that it is.
That does happen, though, you know. The it more does, you learn like a second language or other languages, it's kind of like pushes some of your mother tongue out of your brain. Sometimes I have days where I can't remember words in English or any language. So,
Ethan, you also mentioned, you know, taking a trip down memory lane. What does that mean?
That's a really nice expression, right? Because you can imagine taking a trip down a lane. It's kind of like you're strolling along with a friend, maybe, and when you say it kind of like figuratively, right? That you're taking a trip down a lane of like you're imagining through your memories in your brain with someone, like taking them there with you, almost as if they were there present
traveling
with you in that moment, right? Yeah.
Yeah, traveling together into the past. Like that. It's really a beautiful one.
So if you're new here, every week we make lessons like this, video podcasts like this that help you to learn vocabulary and so much more, pronunciation, to improve your listening skills. So if you want to go from feeling like a lost, insecure English learner and become a confident, natural English speaker, then what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button and the bell down below, and that way you're not going to miss a single one of these new lessons.
Ethan, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you mentioned previously, oh, I don't know if this is true, but I'd like you to confirm. Like, I heard that you were not that good at learning languages. Is that true? I mean, now you speak, like, I heard, like, 4 or 5 languages? Like, how did that even happen?
I think I speak, like, to be transparent, we could say, like, I probably speak well, I think, 3 languages, including my mother tongue, English. I've learned, like, 6 foreign languages. I think 6 or 7 foreign languages. But, like, the other ones, I've either forgotten, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it, sort of thing. Or I just, you know, only learned them maybe to, like, an upper beginner or intermediate level. But anyways, that is true, Kase. So when I was younger, like, I tried like many different languages. Even when I was in elementary school, we had Spanish classes. In middle school, we did like French. And then what happened is, like, my mom took me on a trip to visit. My aunt was living in Germany, so she took me and my brother to visit her in Germany. And we were, like, in this small village, and, like, I actually took, like, a crash course in German before going. And I didn't particularly, like, I didn't love it or anything. But the amazing thing was I got there, and I could, like, you know, experiment a little bit, like, communicate with some locals and everything, communicate with some kids my age a little bit, order off of the menu in restaurants and things like this. And anyways, like, I was just really impacted by that experience and everything. I decided to learn German when I was in high school. But it's like, again, I just remember, I don't have, like, any good memories about those classes or anything. It's just, especially German has a very difficult grammar. It's like, just pretty much was focused on, like, grammar. And but what the deal is there is that, you know, when I was coming up, my brother, for example, he is a very good language learner. He has a talent for learning languages, we could say. We'd go, like, on trips to Mexico, you know, he had his Spanish classes, and he'd be having conversations with the locals there and stuff. You know, we'd go to the store, he would, like, help us to figure things out, to, like, buy things, to find things, and so on. And that was, like, that wasn't me at all. Like, I couldn't remember anything from my Spanish classes or French classes or anything. But the thing is then, you know, when I got the chance to go live in Germany towards the end of my last year of high school, and I took German for 3 years, I arrived there, no one could understand me because my teacher never bothered to teach us correct pronunciation. So I had to, like, write things down and they correct my pronunciation, and eventually I got better. But the thing is that just, like, lit, you know, it really, like, lit a passion in me. I got, like, the travel bug, as my mom likes to say. So, you know, then in college, like, I went back to studying Spanish, and I decided to study abroad in Spain. And, you know, again, had, like, a wonderful experience. And kind of, like, as I got older, I just, like, grew this fascination of learning about other cultures and being able to communicate to people in their language. And so that's kind of, like, what led me to learn a bunch of different languages and stuff. But I think what was really eye-opening was actually using those languages to communicate with people. I think until you have that experience of, like, where you're actually using that language as a tool for communication, you just don't have any context and everything. So it's like, it's kind of all the life is sucked out of it. At least this was my experience. So, I mean, this is exactly why we have the Real Life app. We built this because so many learners say they have plenty of opportunities to listen to English, plenty of opportunities to study it, that they're even, like, people who do have good experiences and stuff in their classes, but that ultimately, you know, they just don't have enough opportunities to meet other people and use the language. So you can now, anytime, anywhere, with the Real Life app. But anyway, I'm digressing. I've been here on a soapbox sharing a bit of my life story.
There are a couple of things here I wanted to go back to, Ethan, that you shared here. First, you said that you took a crash course in German. What is a crash course?
Crash course. Yeah, it sounds like a, I don't know, that does sound like it's an interesting word, right? Because it sounds like violent or something, explosive. But it means like you're doing something, it's like intensive. It's an intensive course, right? It's over not much of a time, and it just kind of gives you some of the basics. So it was exactly that. Like, I got some, you know, introduction to the German language, some basic things that I might need to know, like food names, and I don't know. I think it was like a 2 week or something, you know, where I was going every day. So it wasn't very much, but it was enough that when I got there, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I could understand things on the menu, I could say a few things and stuff. So it gave me that a little bit of like, it opened my eyes a little bit to, you know, what is possible if you actually know some of a different language. And it got me a lot more excited. I think the difference too was anytime I went to Mexico, it was kind of like just touristy, you're in a place with, like, a bunch of other Americans and stuff. It's not quite the same as when you're going to, like, a village in Germany where, you know, you're the odd one out. You're the only person from your country there. And, like, everyone else is speaking this language. It's like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you speak this language? So I think that can help a lot too, being thrown into those awkward situations.
That's true. Yeah. Getting out of your comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Something else I wanted to ask is, you mentioned that you got the travel bug back then, right? After that experience, what does it mean to get a bug of some sort like that? Like, you got the travel bug?
It's another one that sounds really unappealing,
gross.
Right?
Sounds gross. Were you sick?
Yeah, it does. It's like, if you, because you could say that, like, you got a bug, you know, is like you got sick.
Stomach,
like,
bug.
Actually, yeah, that happened to me at the beginning of this week. I had, like, some bad salmon or something, and I got a stomach bug. I felt like awful for 24 hours. So it's that, but it's like a positive spin put on it. It's like, you know, some bug bit you, and you're like, oh, now I love culture, I love language, I love traveling, and, like, all these things. And I think there's different situations. Have you guys ever had any situations like that where you've gotten bitten by a a bug of some sort, in a positive way, maybe.
Yeah, I do have a personal story to share.
Let's hear your anecdote.
Okay. My anecdote, yes. Yeah, maybe I could say that that was when I got bitten by the rock bug, right? Ooh. How I discovered my rebellious side through rock and roll.
In case people don't know, your nickname Axl Pose comes from Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, like great rock band, right?
It is. Yeah. So I guess by now, you know, it's no secret that I love rock music, yeah? And I remember vividly when I really got into it, really got into listening to rock music, heavy rock, I mean, hard rock, right? Because, you know, when I was a kid, I already listened to the Beatles with my parents. You know, I have vivid memories of going to the beach, you know, by car and listening to the Beatles. That was fine. But it was only at 13 that I really started to get into the heavy stuff, the good stuff, you know? So
heavy stuff.
The heavy stuff, yeah. That has multiple connotations, I think, right? But yeah. So yeah, I was at school, yeah? And I think I was 13. And a friend of mine, he came in with a Discman, you know, those portable CD players. And he had a Deep Purple CD there with him, you know, this English band. And I remember listening to the first track and being completely blown away. Like, you know, the track starts with a little keyboard there, just setting the tone. And then the bass comes in, like, dun, 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 you know. And then the drums kick in, and then that guitar riff. I was like, okay. I immediately got bitten by the rock bug then. You know, it was a very nice experience because, you know, usually you don't forget this stuff, right? When you discover something cool for the first time, you know, it could be a traveling experience or meeting someone new, or in my case, like getting to know this new genre of music that I wasn't privy to before. And after that, it all went downhill. Yeah. So, you know, I decided that, you know, rock music was going to be my core genre. Yeah, I really love it till this day. Of course, nowadays I can appreciate other kinds of music as well, provided that I sense some sort of musicianship in the songs or in the artist. Great. Yeah, I can appreciate that. But I always come back to rock and roll because it's just awesome.
I like that you're showing your age with the Discman.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of us probably had that like as kids, right? The Discman?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're old enough, though, for the Walkman. Did any?
I used that one. I had a yellow one.
You used the Walkman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The yellow one is classic, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I used...
I didn't have those. Yeah. Sorry, guys. No, I feel left out.
I can remember tapes, though, and VCRs where you had to, like, you know, like the when you like rent a movie and they would like charge you extra if you didn't rewind it before returning it. It's like you had to. It's just like,
yeah.
It seems like so. It's like so old now.
Those were the days.
Imagine if like Netflix, if you had to like rewind back to the beginning of the show, you know, before you finished watching it or something, so that.
I wanted to ask you, Thiago, you said, you mentioned like being privy to something. Mm. What does it mean to be privy to something?
I would say when you are aware.
Privy to it.
Yeah, when you are aware of it, when you know about it, you are privy to it. Yeah, so back to my story, before 13 years old, I wasn't privy to this hard rock kind of music. You know, I knew the Beatles, the yay, 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 la, 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 you know, okay, that was cool, yeah, but... Yeah, I wasn't aware of that kind of music or privy to it. Yeah.
I feel like I had a very similar experience when I was a teenager with like the kind of like musical journey, because it was like starting with the Beatles, then I got really into The Who. It's like and there's like a kind of like a gateway to all sorts of other. I remember like seeing Blind Faith. Do you know them? Like there was like a really epic concert Blind Faith did, not in person, but like a recording. And they're incredible musicians. But they only did like one album together, and then they broke up or something. They all went their separate ways. But anyways, it was kind of like the same. We got into like Guns N' Roses and like, you know, heavier stuff, as Thiago is calling it.
You use the heavy stuff.
I had it, yeah. I think like it's that music speaks to you when you're a teenager, you know, because you have like it that does, all that angst inside you that you got
to
get out.
Yeah, maybe I'm still a teenager today. I still have angst to, you know, get out of. That's why I still listen to that.
A kid at heart.
yeah. But Ethan, just one last question, okay? You said gateway. Listening to The Who was a gateway for other kinds of music. When something's a gateway for something else, what's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like how they used to say too. You'd hear it a lot with like marijuana being the gateway drug that people were really scared. That's like if you smoke a joint, if you smoke like just
that
a little bit of marijuana,
that was my first thought.
It's like all downhill from there. Like you're gonna get into all the drugs. You're gonna end up on the street, which I guess that does happen in some cases. But I think that like now it's legal in many states in the U.S. and everything, and now it's pretty recognized that you know just because you have one joint or you smoke occasionally, it doesn't mean you're going to become some like hardcore drug addict. Anyways, I'm digressing, like gateway. So like people maybe can understand from that example that marijuana is a gateway drug to like other drugs. So it's kind of like the Who, the Beatles, they're like a good kind of like, if you've never heard rock before, it's a good gateway because it's very like soft rock in general. Mm-hmm. I guess the Beatles had some of their more angsty stuff towards the end of their career. But it's a gateway into starting to explore maybe heavier and heavier, harder and harder rock. Kase, you've been rather quiet over there. I'm curious if you have any juicy anecdotes from your schoolhood days.
Juicy.
I think I'm inventing a word there.
Schoolhood. Yeah. Schoolhood. I have a funny story from my schoolhood days. Actually, my primary school days.
So you said like primary school because we wouldn't use that in the US. I think we'd say elementary school. Is that right? Or middle school? What's primary school?
Primary school would be grade R to grade 7. So
what's grade R?
It's the the bridge between being in a kindergarten and then going to like actual school where you're getting a grade. Like in,
do you know what R stands
so it's before
for?
Before grade 1. No. No, I'm not. I don't. Okay, let me find out. It says reception. So the
reception.
R in grade R stands for reception.
Yeah. They say the same in the UK, but we don't have that in the US. Mm. We have kindergarten. No, we have preschool. Let me think. What's the order? Preschool, then kindergarten, then first grade. And then so on until grade 5, fifth grade, actually. Because I think you guys also say like grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, right? And we say first grade, second grade. Third grade, we use the ordinal numbers, I think they're called. And and that's elementary school up to fifth, and then sixth, seventh, eighth is middle school, or depending where you're in the States, they might call it junior high, and then high school from there. So we have three different schools. And so primary, you said, is to grade 7, right?
Yeah, yeah. Until the seventh grade, grade 7, and then you'd go to high school like until grade 12. So only two schools. Until you matriculate. That was another one we spoke about beforehand, right? So once you reach grade 12, that is your matric year. And after you finish, you're officially a matriculant.
Whisked off to college, right? Wow. To university.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you say college or university or uni?
University. And then colleges would be private institutions of higher learning institutions.
And then how is it in Brazil, Thiago?
I think it's similar. We have kindergarten, we have primary school, or elementary school. I don't know. I think it's kindergarten, primary school, and then elementary school, actually, and then high school. Yeah, but you know, revealing my age a little bit. When I was a student a few years ago, we had until eighth grade. And then, you know, high school. Yeah. But I know that now we also use the word years, not grade anymore. So now there is this ninth year thing that I'm not really privy to. Yeah, quite. And then there after the ninth year, kids here go to high school, which is only 3 years. Yeah. Maybe the ninth year could be considered the first high school year. Maybe. I don't know. There has been some changes. There have been. Yeah. Some changes.
So it's really interesting. I just wanted to like parentheses there, like for maybe too, like if you have like a really interesting different way that the school systems work, you could like let us know down in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube. Anyways, Kase, sorry, I took us off on a journey there.
A fun story from my school years is that when I was about 7 years old, my dad was a high school principal, and he always came home. He brought home lots and lots of boxes with reams of paper.
What's a ream of paper?
A ream is the collective noun for paper. So lots of paper. So a ream, I think, consists of 500 pages, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. I could be wrong about that. I'll double check. But how many pages in a ream? Google, my friend. Please tell me.
A ream of paper contains 500 sheets.
Yes.
Wow.
Right. So 500 sheets of paper is the collective noun would be a ream of paper. So my dad brought home boxes, different types of paper, different textures. I love the smell of paper, the feel of it. Anyway,
it's like a bookstore.
Yeah, I just loved it. He was obviously using it for printing documents and things like that, but I used to steal a little bit of a few pages here and there. And I then would cut, you know, interesting fun shapes, maybe burn the edges. I was only six. Yes, I was burning the edges, making it look really nice. Yeah, it was, maybe this was my my gateway.
Your bug.
my gateway drug into, no, I'm kidding. It was it was the bug, yes, that bit me. I was so interested in turning these blank sheets of paper into something beautiful. So I would cut little shapes. I would draw images on the front of it. And then I decided to sell these beautiful books that I had created. So it'd be like a 20-page book or maybe even like 10 only. But I stapled it or I would tie it with string. And then kids at my school really wanted my books. And so I started selling them for like 10 cents each. So 10 cent these days, I don't even think they exist. I don't think anyone uses 10 cent anymore. But back then with my 10 cents, I could buy sweets, candy from the fence. There was a guy at my school who used to sell all kinds of yummy treats that kids love, like sherbet, chips, sweets, not good chocolate. None of it was great quality. So we're not talking quality chips, quality chocolate, quality sherbet. It was just yummy kids, things that kids love, ice lollies, things like that.
There's so many, all those names are so different.
Really?
Go ahead.
Ice lolly?
Chips? Ice lolly. What is an ice lolly?
Well, I said ice lolly because I thought that was what you would call it, but here we would call it a sucker. And I know you guys call it like a sucker. Yeah.
I think like ice lolly, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the UK, ice lolly is a popsicle.
Yes, so
it's popsicle. Like it's frozen.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes,
like a lolly is a sucker and a ice lolly is a popsicle.
Yes, so it's a combination. So it looks like it could be a sucker, like a sweet, but it's ice. So it's a ice lolly. But in this case, a sucker. That's what we would call it, a sucker.
Did you guys have snow cones?
No.
Snow cones, no. Do you know what that is?
I just saw that in... Yeah, in it's movies. Like crushed ice with syrup, like different flavors of sweet.
Yeah.
Syrup.
That also reminds me of my childhood, that like you'd go to the pool and they sold, it wasn't a guy at the fence, it was like a stand of someone official from the pool that was selling shaped ice
official.
Or keyword official.
Legitimate.
Well, it's really funny because the guy at the fence, it sounds very much like I don't know, like nowadays it'd be very like in the States, like Stranger Danger, like guy at the fence near a school, like who is this guy? Call the police. Yeah. Like what are you doing creeping around the school?
I still don't know why the school did nothing about this man who was selling random things. He had different things every day. Like, and most of it was like sealed, but a lot of it, like we had like gumballs and he would take it with his hand and like hand it to you. You get two gumballs.
Hopefully he washed them first.
That's the problem. I'll never know. We'll never have the answers. So you guys never had people selling things at the fence when you guys were kids?
No, here in Brazil,
in the States, they would call the States.
Yeah. Not at the fence, but at the corner, like by the corner of the street, and you know, or in front of the school gate, you know, it was actually common. Sometimes a guy was walking
really
by
sketchy.
The street and then selling some stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have like a name for that person? Like a
we do in Portuguese, I would call it, let me see if I can translate that in English to English, maybe a walking salesman or a walking salesperson.
Like a hawker?
Yeah.
A hawker.
Yeah.
Is that what you call
that? Not walker.
Hawker. Like they're hawking their goods.
Yeah. The Portuguese translation would be that, you know, a walking salesman, something like that. Because you don't have a store or a stand. You are walking around, moving around and selling stuff. You are a walking or moving. Oops. A walking, moving salesman. Yeah. Do you want me to say in Portuguese what the words are?
Sure.
Vendedor ambulante. Vendedor is the salesperson.
That's literally
ambulante.
Salesperson walking.
A person who moves around, walks around. Yeah.
Here we have, I think it's not a great term. There's like manteros, like like it comes from the blankets because they sell goods on blankets, but it's not candy. It's usually like very common, for example, by the beach. There's a lot of them that sell sunglasses and they're called manteros because they have the mantas, is a blanket, because if the police come, like one of them will signal and they'll grab, wrap everything up in the blanket and, you know, like run so that they don't get fined. But I think it's not, it's maybe not the most PC term, politically correct term for those walking salesmen.
Okay. Informal traders.
Informal
that's
traders.
What they,
wow, look at that.
Yeah. Like that's what they're called here. I just realized. So informal traders, you don't have an actual business. Mm-hmm. It's just like I sell when I, if I want to, when I want to. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this guy or the guys, it wasn't just one school, guys. Like there were, I always bought sweets from different guys at different schools. And yeah, they're just like the uncle. We're just always, oh, uncle, can I have two packets of chips, please? How about you, Ethan? I'd love to hear about your school days.
I have a hard time like thinking of a specific story from my youth, but one thing that came up to me, I actually, because we were talking about different grades of school and everything, and one thing that we have is kind of unique, I think, compared to other English-speaking countries is what I was talking about, middle school or junior high school. So I went to a private middle school, which I feel very fortunate to because we got to do a lot of special things. Like every year, I think once per semester, we do some sort of field trip. So one of the ones that popped to mind for me was that we did a field trip to Albuquerque. I grew up in the southwest of Colorado, right? So the Colorado is basically like a square, and the southwest corner of it, there's an area where it borders with three other states that have a corner, and it's called the Four Corners. So right south of where I grew up is the city of Albuquerque in New Mexico. Anyways, we went on this trip there and we did some like very cool things. Like we were learning polite manners, for example. That was like one of the things we were learning that semester is like, how do you have proper manners, you know, when if you're going out to like a fancy restaurant or something. So we actually went out to a restaurant and we were kind of like being tested on how well we had learned like the proper manners. And the girls totally took advantage of this because like one of the things you're supposed to do in this is it's called etiquette. Is when a girl goes to the bathroom, all the men are supposed to stand up, you know, to be polite. This is like very like chivalry, right? Like it's maybe old fashioned nowadays. I think most women wouldn't want that, but the girls were like taking turns. They basically were like strategizing to take turns to like go to the bathroom. So the men were just continuously like standing up and down. That's not the story I was going to share, but we did like a bunch of different things during this one trip in this city. And one of the things, we went to a reptile farm. And so they have, you know, all these different sorts of reptiles, like lizards and snakes, rattlesnakes. That's like something you have a lot there because it's kind of like desert. And we went to the gift shop after, and like one of the boys bought a toy snake, but it's like one of those ones that looks quite realistic. And one of the things that happened on these trips when we were like in a city like this, so we're staying in a hotel and the boys like share rooms. So I think we had like, between all the boys, it was a small school. There's like 18 of us. So I don't know, maybe there's 9 of us that were boys. So like all the boys were between like, you know, 2 or 3 rooms. And they were like these ones that connect with the door. And there's one of the boys that was like particularly like gullible, you know, like he just like, it was very easy to like trick and like believe things and everything. And so one of my friends decided it would be really funny to take this toy snake and to stick it in the toilet before this guy went to the bathroom. And so he goes to the bathroom. And you just hear him like scream, like there's a toilet, like there's a toilet, there's a snake in the toilet, there's a snake in the toilet. And obviously all of us were just like splitting our sides at this situation.
What did he do? Like, what was his, like, when he like came out to you, like came out to you guys, when he like saw you guys, what did he do?
I think as soon as he saw us all laughing, it's like it's like they pulled a fast one on me. They pulled a prank.
What does it mean? What does it mean to pull a fast one?
To pull a fast one or to pull a prank on someone is, it's like basically this kind of thing. You do something that is like to trick them and to like laugh at their expense.
Ethan, another great word you used there in your story was gullible. One of your friends was really gullible at school. What is gullible? A gullible person.
A gullible person, someone who believes things too easily. Mm. Like you can tell them anything. Yeah, there's like a really common joke. It's like you say to someone quickly, like, hey, gullible is written on the ceiling. And they like, look, you know, it's like you're gullible. You're like, we believe anything. Okay. So it's that kind of thing. Like this guy, he was like infamously in our school. He was infamously gullible. Mm. So it's like we would always pull pranks on him or always joke like poor guy. But I think he's okay now. But
You know, all this talk about New Mexico and Albuquerque actually reminds me of Breaking Bad, because, you know, I think all of us have seen the show. Yeah,
I'm shocked that you recognized Albuquerque.
Yeah, now, you know, if I hear Albuquerque, New Mexico, I have to think about Walter White and Jesse Pinkman,
Breaking Bad,
all those guys.
It's not the best thing to have tied to your name, right? Breaking Bad, meth, methamphetamines, all that, drug gangs.
Yeah. But actually, I remember a fun fact about that. I think, if I remember correctly, they were not going to film the show in New Mexico as it ended up happening. I think it was some... Let me see if I can find that information here very quickly. Just a second. That's true. Check it out. Let me read this section here very quickly. In a 2010 interview with Slant Magazine, the show's creator Vince Gilligan said he had originally planned for Breaking Bad to be set in Riverside, California. But Sony approached him with the idea of moving it to New Mexico due to financial incentives. They said New Mexico has a tax rebate for film and television production, and it's a pretty substantial one, Gilligan recalled. And really, it's a hard carrot to turn down. And so New Mexico very quickly became the place we decided to shoot our show for strictly financial reasons. We wanted our limited production budget to go that much farther, he added.
Well, it seems like it was a really good decision on their behalf, right? But I never would have thought that. I just thought like they thought like Albuquerque seemed like a good city for, I mean, Albuquerque, where I'm from, is also pretty infamous because we happen to get, I don't know why, we get our television, our like news and everything in the southwest corner of Colorado comes from Albuquerque. And so you always see like crime stories and like drug stories and like all these things. Like Albuquerque just doesn't have like a great reputation. So for me, it's like, oh yeah, it makes perfect sense that they filmed it there. It's really interesting though that it was just purely based on that they were able to get some benefits. You mentioned there a tax rebate. What's a tax rebate?
It's when, you know, you have a deduction on the amount of taxes you have to pay. So apparently there is this incentive in New Mexico mm-hmm. where if you're going to go there to produce a TV show or movie, you will pay less taxes. Yeah. Than you mm-hmm. would pay maybe someplace else. Right. It's a tax incentive. So, you know, if I think they figured out mm-hmm. if they could save money on the taxes, they could, you know, inject even more money on the production of the show, I imagine. Right.
I believe you said too, a hard carrot to turn down. Now, I'm not familiar with that expression, but maybe it's like carrot in the stick. Mm. Do you want to explain what that is, like, Kasia?
Yeah, so a carrot on the stick is like something that motivates you to keep going. So if someone's dangling a carrot in front of you, they're sort of enticing you, they're incentivizing you in a way, like to keep going forward. So that's what you would do with an animal. But I think a hard, I don't know, like in this case, I would imagine that the carrot refers to something valuable, something cool that you cannot turn down, an offer, a possibility that you just couldn't turn down.
It's like the state of New Mexico is like dangling the carrot in front of them, like saying like, you know, film here, we'll give you a tax rebate.
So they made them an offer they couldn't refuse, in the words of Vito Corleone. Mm-hmm.
The Godfather
is
behind.
He's here. Yeah? He's present with us. Right here.
Always present.
Speaking of drugs, I mean, I know, Chiagu, you and I both, obviously, in our school days, we had people selling candy and other goods outside the school. But I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but recently, or I would say in the last 10 years, I think these guys have become quite infamous for selling candy, or I don't know, again, this could be fake news, but it's been doing the rounds here. But these guys selling candy and other goods to kids have been accused of selling candy that is actually drugs, or drugs that look like candy, or I could even say candy laced with drugs.
Oh, what does it mean if something is laced with something? Usually this refers to drugs, right? So if a drug is something's laced with drugs, what does that mean?
It means that it is like hidden, like it's covered with drugs in a way that it's not obvious. Mm. Like you wouldn't necessarily notice it immediately. So in terms of the candies, yeah, this was quite a common thing. And the drug, I feel like you guys, you know, might have heard about this. I'm not sure, but the drug was called Flaca, or maybe it has a different pronunciation, Flaca. And it's meant to sort of turn these kids. It's been said to turn these kids into zombie. Wow. Zombies. So they move like zombies. They're, you know, zombies are known for having, you know, rage attacks, and these mm-hmm. kids within have these weird outbursts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's quite a scary situation. I still don't know if it's true, but it mm-hmm. has been reported to be true in our local news, so I don't know.
I think Ice-T actually found a video, a news story on this, so maybe we could roll that. Mm-hmm. About Flaca.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Take a look here at what police say they found during a drug bust in South Florida. Two bags of Flaca, but they're designed to look like Sour Patch Kid candies. Yeah, Miami-Dade police tested this bogus candy, discovered it was the dangerous synthetic drug known as Flaca. One dose can cost as little as $5. Users can be up for days with intense, often psychotic behavior. Many people are sharing this warning on our WPTV Facebook page tonight. Michael, police are worried that this kind of packaging could lure younger users, and that's definitely something parents need to know about.
So, do you guys know what Sour Patch Kids are?
No, I've only ever seen it in movies, and I really want to try them. I love gummy. They're gummies, right? Mm-hmm.
They're gummies.
Gummy
yeah.
candies.
What is a gummy? Mm. A gummy candy.
A gummy candy is a soft, chewy. It's made of gelatin, I would guess.
I think gelatin or like fruits, like jelly. Vegetables. And, yeah.
Tons something of sugar,
like,
right?
Yeah, something chewy. And lots of sugar, of course, as any good candy. But the Sour Patch Kids, so they're Sour Patch Kids, because it's like sweet, a sweet gummy, and it's covered with like some, we were talking before about, you called sherbet, right? Like the citric acid or something, it's covered in something sour. So it has that sweet and sour thing that like makes you like pucker your lips, right? With the, so it's for, but yeah, I grew up with those things, Sour Patch Kids. So that's kind of scary, like having them being laced with drugs, you know?
Yeah.
I took note of, there was some interesting vocabulary that she used here. So she mentioned that there was a drug bust where they found these laced Sour Patch Kids, right? What's a drug bust?
So a drug bust would be a planned or an organized police
raid.
Yeah, I wanted to say the police swoop in, but what am I saying? That doesn't make sense
as well.
So
they swoop in.
Yeah. Ooh, like a bird. So the police would, you know, organize or strategize around like catching criminals at a particular time in a particular place. So a drug bust is when police plan, or in this case they already have, you know, caught the criminals
to catch them.
Who are, yeah.
People have probably seen this on different series. I think there's even like some examples of this in Breaking Bad. It's been a long time, I haven't seen it, but there must be some drug bust scene, right?
There are lots of drug busts in there.
And she said, I don't remember exactly how she put it, but she said something about like the bogus candies, something like that. But what does bogus mean? Something's bogus.
It's nonsense. If something is nonsense, bogus, it's like utter nonsense. But I just want to comment on bust, because I think the bust is the important part. So when you bust someone, you catch them. So a drug bust. Yeah, you're busted. I caught you.
You guys both have got young children, so that might be a part of your vocabulary you're using more and more as they grow up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bust them doing, you know,
bust them listening to hard rock music.
You know, you're listening to that. You're grounded.
What does that mean if you tell your kid you're grounded?
But Dad.
Yeah. When the kid is punished, that without no TV, no phone for, I don't know, a few weeks or a month, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No meeting with your friends.
Yeah, you're grounded. Mm.
Were you guys
Take
ever
grounded? We could love.
Maybe we need to do another podcast episode on our stories of being grounded. I don't know if that happened to you. I was definitely grounded.
Oh yeah, me too.
A couple times when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So coming back to the new story, users, what do they say? Users can be up for days. So what does it mean if you're up? This verb, it's kind of like simple, right? Be up if you are up.
Is it like to be awake?
To be awake, yeah. It's like a drug that I think, like Cassie was saying, they probably like are zombies just because they're strung out. They're not sleeping. Mm. If you're strung out, it's like you're like, if you drink a lot of caffeine, for example, but obviously like any amphetamine or any crazy drug like this. And she was saying it's something about it being scary because it looks like candy. It looks like Sour Patch Kids, right? So it could lure younger users. What does it mean if you lure someone?
You know, I love this word because, you know, I always think of the witch, you know, alluring the kids to her house. Like, hello, little ones, come here. I have some delicious treats for you. You know, like
oh, that voice is amazing.
So yeah, when something that lures you, yeah, it attracts you, yeah, and you like, you know, the kids, they are lured or attracted by the candy, like, ooh, this looks so nice, colorful and delicious. I want to have it. I want to taste it, right? So you are lured to trying the candy in this case, or you are lured into the witch's house.
There's also something, if you go fishing, called the lure, like a fishing lure is like these colorful, or they have like feathers or things like that to attract the fish's attention so you can catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the guy, I think it was the man at the end, says like something like, be on the lookout. Parents better be on the lookout for people selling these laced Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, so when someone is on the lookout, when they need to be on the lookout, they need to be aware of what's happening. So, like, pay attention, be on the lookout, take note of things. Like, for example, in this case, if your kid comes home with some Sour Patch Kids candy, maybe just like check it, take it away from them, have it tested, and then, no, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I think in this case, he's just telling parents to be aware, be alert, pay attention to this problem, because maybe, or if your kid had, you know, the candy and you're wondering, why is my kid acting like a zombie? It's probably because of this.
Sure, the kid has been eating, right?
A bad batch of Sour Patch Kids. So, like, your guys' stories about, like, you were talking about the walking salesman or the uncle selling candies right outside the fence. Like, for me, these are kind of like shocking because, like, in the States, our parents always tell us, like, don't talk to strangers, you know? But when it comes to language learning, there are times, obviously, when it comes to drugs, don't talk to strangers. But when it comes to language learning, sometimes talking to a stranger is exactly what you need, right? And so, for example, if you're using the Real Life app, by all means, talk to strangers. You know, you can meet people from all around the world that they can't sell drugs to you because it's on your phone. I mean, probably. There's no stranger danger, anything like that. And, you know, it's a great way for you to practice your English and to discover all sorts of different cultures, to meet people from different parts of the world and to hear their stories about. I mean, it's like super interesting hearing these little things about like how different it was, you know, for Cassie growing up in South Africa, for me growing up in the States, for Thiago growing up in Brazil. So go and check out what it's like in other countries as well. And that said, I think that's a perfect transition for us to give a special thanks to some of our listeners. So do you want to share the shout out from a nice 5-star review for the app, Cassie?
Sure. So Pedro says, I dare say this app is one of the best things ever given to whomever wants to be fluent in English. Speaking from my experience, I would obviously say that the app has been helping me to get to know a lot of English speakers from around the world and their culture. Thanks so much, Pedro. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a ton, Pedro. So If you want to check it out, if you want us to shout you out, then you could also check out the app and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy the experience. That way we can find you and also give you our thanks. That said, let's move on to the last part of this today's podcast. So for today's real life moment, what do you have for us, Thiago?
Yeah, you know, today was all about sharing our personal stories from school days when we were children, young children, right? And I think that this connects really well with living your English, which is the first component of the real life way, because this is about making it natural for you, because, you know, we all love to talk about ourselves. So this is natural already to talk about it, right? And it doesn't have to be boring, right? I mean, we say fun, natural, convenient, right, guys? So listening to your stories, I mean, all of us, all the three of us here, I could sense that we got really excited when we were sharing our stories. Like, you know, our eyes would like brighten up, and even our voice, you know, would raise. You know, why? Because, you know, it's something so attached to our lives, right? Our experience. So it is fun, right? So I think the point here is you can do the same with your English. You know, use your English, use English, talk about things that matter to you. Yeah. Your life, your personal experiences. Yeah. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be boring for you. I guess that's what I wanted to say here about today's episode in the real life way, you know?
And it's actually easier, right? It's easier when we talk about ourselves because we have all of the information and the knowledge. We don't have to think too deeply about what we want to say because we've lived it. So that's also another reason why, you know, it's easier to start there.
I think it's much easier to share a story about yourself than like to, I don't know, talk about politics or the state of the environment or, I don't know, the news, you know, anything like this. That's kind of, it's more advanced and stuff, right? Or something that's maybe outside your comfort zone, but like your life, you've lived it, mm-hmm. right? So you've had the experience.
So I guess the same can be said for like topics that you can relate to. So it's not only a story about yourself, but it's a topic that, you know, you can relate to. And it's fun to ask other people about things because, you know, if they share, you know, mutual interest or mutual experience. I mean, we've all had childhoods. I mean, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have childhoods. So I know it might seem like how do I start this conversation? But I think, as Thiago said, we all like sharing about ourselves. So if you want to start a conversation about your childhood, why not talk about yourself first, mention something about yourself? Makes it easier to, you know, start up a conversation with the other person.
So as Kase was mentioning, that it's really useful to, you know, share about yourself and stuff. You can actually like practice this. Like you could even share, maybe Kase, you said you were talking to one of our students in Korea the other day. You want to share what he does?
So we have a new student who just recently, I think a few days ago, he joined the Fluency Circle, and he was explaining to us that he creates scripts when he has to prepare for a meeting with, you know, foreign coworkers or people who he's, or strangers who he has to meet for work reasons, work purposes. So he actually prepares a script so that he doesn't feel overwhelmed and scared and anxious when he actually meets up with them. And this is an awesome way to like prepare for a meeting or to practice your English on your own before actually like jumping into that real life situation, right?
Exactly. Going along with what we've been talking about today, the first part of the challenge, you could actually think about some story like this. It can be any story, right? Like the ones that we had. We could have, like, I'm sure so many stories in our life, but we just picked like random ones that came to mind, right? You can do the same, like think of maybe one or two or three, like just interesting stories, or even they don't have to be like super interesting, but ones that could like spark a bit of conversation, and write them out, you know, actually like create a bit of a script. And if there's like any vocabulary that you're like, oh, I want to talk about, I put a snake in the toilet bowl. I don't know how to say that in my language. You can actually like look up, okay, how do you say toilet bowl in this language? So, you know, you can practice it a bit even. You could like do it in front of the mirror. You could record yourself depending how comfortable or not you are talking to other people. You can do as much preparation as you need. And then the other part of the big challenge is jump on the Real Life app or anywhere else where you have the opportunity to have a conversation with someone. Ask them if, you know, you maybe connect with Kase and she's in South Africa and you're like, Kase, I'm really curious, what was it like for you growing up in South Africa? Do you have any great stories that you could tell me? And as we were talking about, people love talking about themselves. So that's always a great way to start, is like get someone to talk about themselves. And probably they're going to also ask you, how about you? Do you have any good stories? Or how about you? What is it like growing up in your home country? And then that's your opportunity to, you know, practice your script with them. So that's it. Just take, you know, a few minutes out of your day, go connect with someone, learn about another part of the world. You're going to have a lot of fun, practice your English.
So now, guys, it's time for you to share a little bit with us. What was it like growing up in your city or country? Share it here in the comment section below. We are curious to see your experiences, to hear about them, and learn more about you too, okay?
So thanks so much for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed some of our stories, that you got some laughs in, and even if you didn't, that hopefully you learned some new vocabulary. And we hope that we will see you here again next week. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.